Hare Krishna. Good morning to everyone. So today is the disappearance day of Sri Vamsidas Babaji. So we do slightly different today. We'll be reading from the Bhagavatam, one verse from the ninth canto. So I beg for everyone's blessings and permission. Who can speak about Vamsidas Babaji? Someone who exhibited a unique level of spiritual absorption, spiritual consciousness, a unique approach to bhakti that most are unfamiliar with. So it's a very lofty task to try to speak about Vamsidas Babaji, but we'll try our best. Actually, midweek I wasn't sure if I would be here on Sunday morning, so I asked Govinda Prabhu if we could switch. So he gave the class yesterday, so I said, maybe I can give Saturday. So then he said, okay. So then I looked at his verse. Anyway, in the verse, Prabhupada talked about many amazing things, but one of the things he talked about in yesterday's verse was Kali Chela. Kali Chela means disciples of Kali, or those who are in the dress of Vaishnavas, but actually have some other motive in mind. Although they appear as devotees, they have some other agenda. So I was reading the purport. Anyway, I went to sleep that night and I had a dream. And in the dream, somehow or other, it was my initiation ceremony. I don't know who my guru was in the dream, but anyway, then it came to the point where I was getting my name. And as I got my name was Kali Chela Das. It's completely true. And I just looked and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have to live with this for my whole life. I mean, like sometimes people get initiated, they don't like their names. You know, I wanted a Krishna name, I want a shorter name, longer name. But this is just too much, you know. My whole life, people are like, hey, Kali Chela, how are you doing? Somehow or other, maybe I shouldn't be giving class on that verse, you know. So today we are trying to speak about Vamsidas Babaji, but we'll begin from the Bhagavatam. And we'll begin, before we even speak about Vamsidas Babaji, we'll try to discuss a little bit about the saints, the sadhus, because they are so important to our life. And then we'll kind of go on from there. So reading from Canto 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 4 entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvasa Muni, and we're reading from text number 68. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The pure devotee, this is Lord Narayan speaking, just the context is that Durvasa Muni has offended Ambarish Maharaj, not knowing the glory of Ambarish Maharaj and the extent of his elevated status as a devotee of Krishna. And therefore, he is seeking forgiveness, and Narayan is explaining how amazing the devotees are. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since Durvasa Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Sadhavo Ridayam Mayam, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee are very serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Durvasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadashi Parana as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he drank a little water. But although Durvasa Muni was such a great mystic Brahmana, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotees, being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instruction directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:11. Desham ivanukampartam aham agyana jamtamaha nasayamyatma bhavasto gyana deepena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Vigya, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Nabujoy. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one, therefore, should criticize a pure Vaishnava. Amazing last line by Prabhupada. A Vaishnava knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A Vaishnava knows his own business. So, today we're speaking about the great Vaishnavas. Once there was a conference amongst the sages and they were trying to find out who is the greatest personality in creation, who is the greatest thing in creation. So one sage said the sky, because the sky pervades everything. Another one said, you're wrong, the clouds cover the sky, so clouds must be greater. Another one said, no, you're wrong, the wind can move even the clouds. I said, okay. But then another one said, but the mountain stops the wind. He said, okay, that's a good one. But then another one said, but the earth holds up the mountain. I said, okay, got one there. And then finally, one said, no, no, but the Lord is holding up even the earth by His Shakti. Must be the Lord. Yes, must be the Lord. And then the Lord appeared and then the Lord said, but no, but my devotee has captured me within their hearts. So they're holding me. So they're even greater than me. And that's basically what's being explained here. Krishna says, Sadhavo Ridayam Mayam. The saints are in my heart, and I am in their hearts. So the saints, the sadhus, are basically the most important element in spiritual life, we can say. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Mahat kripa vine kona karme bhakti noi, Krishna bhakti dure raho, samsare nahe kshoy. That if you don't get the kripa, the mercy of a great devotee, what to speak of getting Krishna bhakti? Krishna bhakti dure raho, leave that aside, forget of even talking about that. Samsare nahe kshoy, you can't even gain release from the cycle of birth and death. Nothing can be achieved unless one is favored by a sadhu, unless one is favored by a devotee. And therefore, devotees are amazing because they have captured Krishna. Sadhus have captured Krishna, and therefore they can give Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Berry Place. Tribhuvanath Prabhu remembers this story, and it was very transcendental atmosphere. Radha Landanishwara were there, all the devotees were there. And then Prabhupada paused and he looked at all the devotees and he said, I have captured Krishna and I have brought him here. Now you take Krishna. So the sadhu has captured Krishna, the devotees have captured Krishna, and therefore they can give Krishna. It's so reassuring to know that there are personalities in the creation who are sadhus, who are saintly, who have captured Krishna. You see, what we read about in thousands of books, thousands of verses, what we hear about in thousands of hours of lectures is basically manifested in the life of a saint. They're a living theology, a living representation of everything that we learn. So they've captured Krishna. The saints have captured Krishna. Once Prabhupada was with Yogeshwar Prabhu on a morning walk and he said, first you have to conquer your attraction to the opposite sex and then you can conquer Krishna. First you have to conquer your mind, then you can capture Krishna. First you have to conquer lust, anger, greed, and then you can capture Krishna. First you have to conquer the desire for name, fame, prestige, distinction, then you can capture Krishna. First you have to conquer all superficiality in your life, and then you can capture Krishna. Like I always like it, one person, he was observing Srila Prabhupada. He was highly skeptical of gurus. He said, I've seen every guru, every variety, every species of guru, and every single one of them I found something not quite right. So he was observing Srila Prabhupada with that motive in mind to find some fault. After some weeks with Prabhupada, he came and he said, I've concluded this man is a sadhu. I'm like, wow, that is a miracle. You have concluded he's a sadhu. And it's amazing. You know the reason he gave? He said, you know why I know this man is a sadhu? Because I've observed him day in, day out, hour in, hour out. I've watched all his movements. And I found someone who is not trying to impress anyone. Interesting. He said, this is why I conclude he's a sadhu. Because he's not trying to impress anyone. In other words, when we're so secure in our relationship with Krishna, when we know that Krishna is amazing and Krishna has accepted me and Krishna loves me, then there's no sense of insecurity. So then you don't need to impress someone, you don't need to be envious or jealous of someone, you don't need to bring someone down, you don't need to try and bring yourself up, you don't need to do anything because you know Krishna has accepted me. So practically every conditioned soul is suffering from a certain level of insecurity because we're not fully connected to Krishna. And because of our insecurity, it comes out in enviousness, fault-finding, need to be recognized, and all of these things. But when one has conquered over all this superficiality, then they capture Krishna. So the saints are amazing because they show us what it means to overcome all of these things. And it gives us great faith and inspiration that there are personalities in this creation who have done it. So maybe I can also do it if I follow in their footsteps, if I get their mercy. So on these days when Vaishnavas disappear, we remember them. We hear about them. These Vaishnavas, we go to visit the places where they did bhajan. These Vaishnavas, we sing the songs that they sang, because then when we sing the songs that they sang, we try to imbibe some of that mood and sincere desperation that they had. These personalities, we go to their samadhis and we pray, we beg that let me also have Krishna just as you have Krishna. Therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati ache. Krishna is yours, therefore you can give Krishna to me. That much you're empowered to do. Amito kangal, Krishna Krishna boli, dhaitava pache pache. I'm a fool, I'm low, I don't know anything. Therefore, Krishna Krishna boli, dhaitava pache pache. I'm crying out Krishna's name and I'm running behind you. We pray to these saints. Ekaki amar nahi paya bal, harinam sankirtane. Alone, ekaki amar, alone by myself in this material world, trying to reach Krishna, practically nahi paya bal, I have no strength. We're overcome by weakness. At every moment, weakness is coming in our life. You can have the best morning program, and then as soon as we go out there, we can have an argument with a devotee like that. You can go to a retreat and have the most amazing transcendental experience, and then when you come back, you realize when you put your hand in the bead bag. Back to ground zero. What to speak of all of these things? Maya is returning to us in between Maha Mantras. In between the mantras, Maya is coming. Eka kiya mar nahi paya bal, Hari naam sankirtane. I have no strength. Therefore, tumi kripa kori, shraddha bindu diya, deho Krishna naam adhane. Tumi kripa kori, give me your mercy, shraddha bindu diya, give me one drop of faith that you have. That's all it needs. That's all Krishna consciousness needs, just a drop of faith, but real faith, not shadow faith, not superficial faith, not komala shraddha, weak faith, real faith. Then, harinam, dhane, you can get the real wealth of the holy name. So we pray to these Vaishnavas that let us get some of this mercy that you've managed to capture. So, saints are very, very important in our life. If we read the third canto of Bhagavatam, then Kapila Dev is instructing Devahuti. So he's instructing all about devotional service, and it's interesting because in the chapter 25, where he begins talking about devotional service to Devahuti, so much of that chapter is all just about sadhus and all about saintly association. So the first thing, one of the major things that Kapila Dev says to Devahuti, Prashanga majaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadushu krito moksha dvaram apavritam. In many Vaishnava traditions, they consider this verse to be one of the most important verses of Bhagavatam. So Kapila Dev basically says, Prashanga majaram pasham. Attachment to materialistic people is the reason you keep coming back here. All you have to do, saeva, sadhushu krito, transfer that attachment to sadhus. Become attached to a sadhu. Shishiradha Gopalananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Vanta ki jai. Become attached to a sadhu. Moksha dvaram apavritam, and the doors to liberation will open. He says, what do you have to do? It's very simple. Just become attached to a saintly person. Saintly people are powerful. Just by being attached to them, you will be forced to be attached to Krishna. I was with Shri Dhammaprabhu the other day and I was laughing to him. I was saying, Shri Prabhu, I miss getting your calls on my phone. And I was laughing with him and I said, but I have to tell you, whenever my phone would ring and I would see your name, I would have mixed feelings. I would be very happy because I think like, okay, wow, now I get the association of a sadhu. But then the other side of me thought, he's going to make me surrender to something, you know. He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do, and I don't really want to do these things, but somehow he's going to ask me and I'm not going to be able to say no, but I want his association. So you have to take both. It's like back in the day they used to have these tapes, you know, these songs, and the song you wanted was on the A side. And then on the B side there was another reject song that you didn't want. You can't say like, I want the A side and not the B side, you know? Like, you have to take both. That's how it goes. I think, like, I was saying to him, you know, the sadhus make you surrender. So if you get attached to a sadhu, Kapila Dev is saying, no problem. So then, next verse, how do you know who's a sadhu? Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta shadava sadhu bhusana. When you meet someone who's tolerant, who's compassionate, who has no enemies, who's friendly to every single living entity, and who's completely fixed in their spiritual practice, you can understand when all of this is done in the context of Krishna consciousness, you can understand you've met a sadhu. And then he goes on and says, so get attached to a sadhu. How do you know who's a sadhu? They have all these qualities, then few verses later, what do you do with sadhus? Satam prasangan mamavirya samvido bhavantirit karnarasayana katha tajoshanat ashvapagvarga varmani shradharatir bhaktiranu kramishyati. What do you do when you meet sadhus? Rasayana katha, you begin hearing the wonderful, pleasing, incredibly enchanting narrations of the Lord. And it's very, very bhavanti, rit, karna, is very pleasing to the ear and very pleasing to the heart. So just hear from a sadhu. Jaha bhagavata pada vaishnaverastane. Yeah, Mahaprabhu said, go to the feet of a Vaishnava and hear Bhagavatam. It will be very pleasing to the ear, very pleasing to the heart. And what's more? Shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anukramishyati. Step by step, when you hear from a sadhu, what will happen? Shraddha, your faith will increase. Rati, your attachment will awaken. Bhakti, and your innate devotion for Krishna will fully manifest. So in this way, he's giving the complete science of what it means to have sadhu sangha. Saints are very, very important in our life. Here, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting a verse, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyaya na bujoy. Now, one thing we have to be careful is don't stereotype who is a saint and who is not a saint. Durvaso was thinking, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a renunciate, I have 88,000 followers who are also on that level of renunciation, and here is a king, here is a householder, here is someone engaged in materialistic affairs, and he has dared to take something before me. Subtly there was some sense that I'm higher because of my position. What the Bhagavatam systematically does is it blows every single misconception we have out of the water. Because we have certain misconceptions of who's higher than someone else. This person is higher because of this. This person is higher because of this. Bhagavatam basically establishes that the highest person is the one who has purity, sincerity, motivation and desire to serve Krishna, and no tinge of desire for sense gratification in their heart. Therefore, dharma projita keta votra is throwing out all other things. Therefore, you'll find systematically in the Bhagavatam, every single story is removing a misconception. Every single story is basically turning upside down the material hierarchies or conceptions that we have. So here in this pastime, one of the misconceptions is renunciates are higher than householders. Ashram misconception. So therefore you get the story of Ambarish and Durvasa Muni, where Grihastha is seen to be higher than even a sannyasi. Why? Because they have bhakti. One may have a misconception that someone of a certain birth is higher than another person. So what do you have? You have numerous stories. Suta Goswami, let's take right of the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami is someone born from a pratiloma birth. This is a lower birth. But he becomes the instructor of all the sages at Naimasharanya. So it throws out ashram conception, throws out varna conception. Another misconception we may have is gender misconception. Men are higher than ladies. Men are natural authorities, spiritual leaders. Somehow more established in their spiritual path than ladies. So what do you have in the Bhagavatam? You have specific stories which show how ladies can become the instructors of even men, the wives of the yagyic brahmanas, the nagapatnis, all these stories. We may have a misconception of age. Older people are naturally wiser, isn't it? Naturally, they must be wiser. More years in the material world. So then what does the Bhagavatam do? It gives the stories of Prahlad and Dhruva, who are young, but whose devotion is seen. Bhakta Shiromani, Prahlad Maharaj is called, the crest jewel of all Vaishnavas. He's just a kid. It doesn't matter. Age is not, doesn't matter. One may think, okay, at least for sure, demigods are higher than demons. I mean, that's for sure, it must be, right? Demigods are higher than demons. I mean, that's just the natural one. So what does the Bhagavatam do? Blows that misconception out of the water as well by giving you a story where a demon, Vritrasura, is seen to be more established than even Indra, saying, come on, just kill me so I can go back to Krishna. One may look at social position. Yeah, someone in a higher social position naturally is more refined, more advanced, more having more good karma, closer to Krishna. So then what do? You have the story of Jadabharat and Rahugana. Rahugana is a king. Jadabharat is just holding his palanquin. Finally, Jadabharat ends up saying, you know, let me give you a discourse, let me give you a Bhagavatam class on how to control your own mind. The Bhagavatam just blows every misconception out of the water. It just turns everything around and it says, a sadhu is one who has bhakti, one who has devotion, one who has purity. And therefore, here, Srila Prabhupada is saying the purport, never judge a Vaishnava on externals. Be very careful, because we don't know what's going on. Can very easily make a mistake. Our acharyas were all very, very individual personalities. Although, all, like if we look at the four Vaishnava acharyas here, or each one of them was so established in their devotion to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we begin. We say, Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachit Ananda Namine Gaura Shakti Svarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Gaura Shakti Svarupaya. His very essence was infused with the Shakti of Gauranga. I mean, it just sounds amazing. I can't imagine what it actually feels like. Gaura Shakti Svarupaya, he was infused with the energy of Gauranga, Rupanuga Varayate, and he was a strict follower of Rupa Goswami. So just like Rupa Goswami, by Gauranga Shakti, he was able to write so many books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was prolific. He was writing and just bringing out all these books. And it's not just books of information. It's books of deep realization. You know, like Harinam Chintamani, Bhajana Rahasya, Sharanagati, all these like deep books. I mean, he writes like Navadip Dhyan Mahatmya, went on at every place. And then he writes another book which explains all of the emotions that he felt when he went to each one of these places. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, writing a Vyasa Puja is difficult enough, Vyasa Puja offering. You have to like rack your brains to pull out, you know. I mean, someone who's just so deep, so such a prolific writer. But then his spiritual master was illiterate. We then have Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who was illiterate. So you go from someone who's such a prolific writer, the next one in the line is illiterate. But still on the same level of devotion, on the same level of advancement. Yeah? Namo Gaurakishoraya Shakshad Vairagya Murte. What was Gaurakishore Das Babaji's special quality? Shakshad Vairagya Murte. He exhibited a level of renunciation, detachment that no one could even fathom. He was just subsisting on mud. Mud from Radhakund and the Jamuna. Don't try this at home. Mahaprabhu said, Asat Sangha Tyaga, E Vaishnavachar, Shtri Sanghi Eka Sadhu, Krishna Bhakta Ar. What is the very characteristic of a devotee? Asat Sangha Tyag. They give up non-devotee association. I mean, Gaurakishore Das Babaji just took that principle to another level. And he said, you know what? I'm going to chant my rounds in the lavatory. He went into the lavatory and you know what? He locked the door from the inside. And people would come knocking. Yeah. No, not here. Go away. I can stand the smell of the stool and urine, but I can't stand the smell of someone's material desires. Who can understand this kind of renunciation? Extreme recluse. So he was just going away from the materialistic people like anything. Then look at the next person in the line, Bhaktisiddhanta. He was going to the materialists. He was going in the other direction. So he was inviting the most materialistic people you can imagine and trying to get them involved in Krishna Bhakti. So he was just ready to do anything. He was such an innovator. He was ready to do whatever it takes. So even the governor of Bengal came. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, serve meat. I said, how you serve meat? It doesn't matter, for the purpose of preaching you can do. And then one time Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he said, Gurudev, I don't think we should do this, serving meat. People will criticize us. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at him and he said, you don't know. You don't know that 1,000 lives ago, I made a vow that I'll do whatever it takes to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. It's like, wow. Okay, that conversation's closed then. He was such a... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was... Like once he gave this famous statement to all the members of the Gaudiya Math. He said, I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood to uplift the spiritual corpus of the entire humanity. I think like, wow. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's expectation. 200 gallons of blood. I don't know how many gallons of blood in a human body. How many? Anyone know? One. He's a paramedic. Jamila Bihari, he knows. 1 gallon of blood in a human body. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was ready. He was an innovator. He was ready to do whatever was needed to adjust. And strict. Strict, very strict. He coined the term aggressive grace. Normally when you think of grace or mercy, it's just like you're there and then someone just comes and then just showers it on you and it's all very nice. He coined the term aggressive grace. He said, I'm teaching the members of my math ashram, I'm teaching the members of my ashram aggressive grace. They sleep for a few hours, they rise early, they eat very little, they go out and they beg. And in this way they live almost in military regime. This is aggressive grace. Are you ready? Anyone want to sign on the dotted line? It's like very strict. His demeanor brought out a certain surrender in people. Like for example, there was this one Maharaj of Burdwan or some place. So he decided he'll go and meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was going there, he had heard many things. This Acharya, great person. He said, look, he was walking towards Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's place. He said, look, I know this man is a great man. I know. I'm also a great man. I know he has position, many followers. I also have my people and everything. I also built up my own reputation. So he said, I will go there, but I won't bow down to him. But I'll respect him. We'll speak as equals. So this was going on in his mind. He accounts this himself. He said, this is what I was thinking. He said, I knocked on the door. I went in. He said, I blurted something out, and when I saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, my head started going, my knees started going down, almost unconsciously, against my own volition, I bowed down. And he said, I was down there on the ground, what am I doing? I said, I'm not going to bow down to this person. He said, a sadhu will do that. He'll make you bow down when you don't want to. A sadhu will make you say what you don't want to even say. Sometimes you're in front of a saintly person, you begin speaking all things, your internal things. You're thinking like, I have no plan to say these things. They can draw it out of you. So how much presence Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had is hard to imagine. Once he was in a debate with someone, this person got so overwhelmed by his shakti that his all bowels began to empty in the middle of the debate. It's hard to imagine. Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate. Again, someone who's having incredible shakti. And then you look at Prabhupada, who was also strict, but who had a very loving side to him as well. A very loving, very encouraging, very enthusing. His own personality, also a great innovator. He said, I learned this innovation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur was an innovator and so was Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said, when people were criticizing him because of his innovations in preaching Krishna consciousness, he said, the Ganga is always changing its course. So if you come to me and say, we have always bathed in the Ganga in this place and we will continue bathing in the Ganga in this place, then I look at you and say, you're a fool. You're fool number one. Because the Ganga is changing its course. Therefore, you also have to move with the course to get the mercy. So he was an innovator. So Prabhupada was also a great innovator. Very strict, but having also a lot of love. Just like there's that story of Shyam Sundar who was carving Jagannath, isn't it? And then there was a pack of cigarettes on Jagannath. So Prabhupada just came in and was like, my God, there's a pack of cigarettes on Jagannath. So he just got his cane and just whoosh, and he just flicked the cigarette packet off. And then with great love, he looked at Shyam Sundar and he said, why are you allowing such a small thing to come in between you and Krishna? You've given up so much. You've given up so much. Now you let this small thing? But Prabhupada wouldn't touch the cigarette packet. You know? With such love, he said, why don't allow this? Prabhupada just loved the people so much. One time they asked, well, how old are these people? They love you so much. Prabhupada said, because I love them. Someone once said to me, you can love to preach, but do you love the people that you're preaching to? And when I heard that, I thought, wow, like, yeah, some work to do, no? It's one thing to love to preach. That's also nice. But do you love the people that you're preaching to? If you don't love the people that you're preaching to, your effect will be minimal. So Prabhupada was exuding such love. So, these are acharyas. And you may be wondering, today we're supposed to be speaking about Vamsiraj Babaji. So why in the world? What have you been doing all this time? I have to say that I'm at a loss at what to say about Vamsiraj Babaji. And therefore I'm giving a big prelude before talking about Vamsiraj Babaji. Because first what I want to establish is the number one, the need for saintly people in our lives. The saints are the stick of mercy. Yeah, Kaviraj Goswami says, Durgame patimendasya skalat pada gater muhu svakripa yastidaneina shanta shantvava lambanam. My path is very difficult and I'm slipping again and again and again. But the stick of the mercy of the sadhus, the saints, that's what's holding me up. So first thing I want to establish is that the sadhus, our connection with the saints, will be our saving grace. So let us think deeply about what is our connection with the saints. I talked about how we shouldn't misjudge or misunderstand the saints based on externals. Therefore, Bhagavatam is throwing out all these misconceptions. I talked about the different acharyas and how they had such different personalities, yet were all established in the highest level of Krishna bhakti. And so now we have to come to Vamsidas Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji is what we could say an enigma for most people. Vamsidas Babaji was someone who was on the Raga Marg. Raga Marg means he was following spiritual life with complete attachment. Not understandable to most people, his level of spiritual absorption. Just like if you read the... You can see I'm kind of beating around the bush here. It's like, can you just say Vamsidas Babaji? I will. I'll come to Vamsidas Babaji. But I'm just... In the 7th chapter of the Adi Leela, there's an interesting conversation between Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati. Where Prakashananda Saraswati is questioning, how did you get involved in all this chanting and dancing? And what's the history? So then he explains, the history is I went to Gaya. I got the mantra from my spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. I began chanting. My first thing is my spiritual master chastised me. Guru More Murkha Dekhi Korila Shashan. My spiritual master, you're a fool. Krishna mantra japasada e mantra sar. Just chant Krishna's names. This is the essence of everything. So I got the mantra. I began chanting. I went mad. I went so mad, I went back to my spiritual master. Kiba mantra, dila gosai, kiba tarabal, japite japite mantra, korite pagal. What kind of mantra have you given me? I'm going mad. So then he said, my spiritual master then said to me, eita boli eka shloka, shikaila more. Then my spiritual master said, there's one shloka, I'm going to teach this to you. Bhagavater sar e. This shloka I'm going to teach you is the essence of Bhagavatam. Bole var var. And then he began reciting this verse again and again. So this is Ishwarapuri is telling Mahaprabhu. So what's the verse? Evam vratasva. Priya nama kirtya jata anurago drita chitta ucher hasatyati roditi roti gayati unmadavan rityati loka bayaha. He said, I'll teach you this verse. This verse, what it's basically explaining from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, one who takes up the chanting of the holy names, jata anurago drita chitta ucher, their heart begins to melt, and they become absorbed in ecstatic love for Krishna. So if you carry on chanting, this is what should happen. And then what happens is when you're absorbed in ecstatic love for Krishna, what happens? Hasati. You begin to laugh uncontrollably. Roditi. Sometimes you cry. Transcendental tears. Roti. Sometimes your body becomes agitated with all kinds of symptoms. Gayati, sometimes you just run around singing. Unmadava nrityati, and sometimes you just, in transcendental madness, dance. Loka bayaha, without any consideration of any public opinion or what people think about you. So Ishwarapuri is looking at Mahaprabhu and saying, hasati, laughing. Okay, tick that one. Roditi, crying, tick that one. Roti, agitated body, tick that one. Gayati, singing, tick that one. Unmadava nrityati, dancing in complete madness, tick that one. He goes, you're doing well, you got everything. You pass, you qualify. So this is what happens when someone enters the highest level of Krishna consciousness, that basically they become mad. So this is what Bhagavatam is meant to do. It's actually meant to make you mad. We won't tell the psychiatrists. But this is what the Bhagavatam is basically meant to do. It's meant to make you completely mad after Krishna. We'll add that behind us. Otherwise, if we're not mad after Krishna, then nunam pramete kurute vikarma yad indriya prittaya apranoti. If you're not mad after Krishna, you'll be mad after sense gratification. There's only two options here. So the Bhagavatam is meant to make you mad. Now, many of the acharyas, they were on this level of transcendental madness of love for Krishna, but they contained it within boundaries because they came to this world to basically show people the example of how to practice sadhana bhakti. Then there were other acharyas who knew no boundaries, who didn't put any limit on their expression of transcendental madness. And Vamsidas Babaji was one of those people. So Vamsidas Babaji was verified by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as someone on a very exalted level of bhakti. Although they in their life, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they lived their spiritual life in a different way, they had great appreciation for Vamsidas Babaji, which is a great lesson for us. Because sometimes in the Krishna consciousness movement, we can only relate to people who practice spiritual life like we practice it. If they do a service that I do, then I get along with them. If they're in the ashram that I'm in, then I get along with them. If they have the mood that I have, then I get along with them. If they have the emphasis that I have, then we're friends. But here you had Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur who were completely different. But they looked at Vamsidas Babaji and said, this man is a Mahapurush. He's a Mahabhagavat, no doubt. Why was Vamsidas Babaji so different? First, by seeing a picture of Vamsidas Babaji, immediately you can understand he's different. His hair was uncut. His hair was matted. His hair was completely disheveled. He never took a bath. His eyes were big like wild. You know, sometimes you see people and in your eyes you can tell that this person is not okay. He looks a bit scary. His eyes were like that. He wore only a loincloth. He wandered here, there and everywhere. No one knew what his plan. He had no strategy. There was nothing like... He was just wondering. Prabhupada used to use the term vagabond. Vagabond means someone who's just wandering aimlessly. From an external point of view, Vamsidas Babaji looked like that. His activities were that sometimes he would shout. Sometimes he would be very quiet. He wouldn't speak for a long time. Other times he'd only speak to the deities. Other times he would chastise someone like anything. Sometimes he spoke and one sentence was completely disconnected from the next sentence. Think like, where are you going with this? Impossible to have a conversation with someone like that. The Bhagavatam says that, I don't know if you've ever seen a drunk person, but if you see a drunk person, sometimes their clothes are half on, half off. You see, like for example, a coat. The coat is like half on them, but it's half off. So the Bhagavatam says, in the same way, this body, Vasham Shijirinani Yathavihaya, this body is like clothes. So for someone on the highest level of devotion, they're half in this body and half not in this body. So it's almost like they're suspended between two worlds. So Vamsidas Babaji was like almost here, but then also living in the spiritual world. And then sometimes he would go like from one to the other. So you don't know like where is this person at? It's very difficult to understand. So Vamsidas Babaji, his life was his deities. He had deities of Gaur Gadadhar, Nityananda, Bal Gopal, and Radha Govinda, I think. Six sets of deities. His Bal Gopal he would carry with him everywhere in his hand. Now his deity worship is also interesting. Because his deity worship, there were no rules. He didn't wake up the deities, he didn't put the deities to sleep. Practically he never dressed the deities. There were no timings. There was no paraphernalia for worshipping the deities. There was no simhasan, there was no altar. His worship of the deities was that he would see them and he would just talk to them all day. So he would just talk to his deities. Sometimes he would also offer some flowers or sometimes some fried chickpeas. But he was just talking to his deities constantly. When someone would speak to him, then he would not reply to the person, he would speak to the deities. But actually it's replying. I mean, who can understand such things? Like one time there was one Ananta Vasudev, he was serving Vamsidas Babaji. So Vamsidas Babaji looked at him and he said, "Did you just hear what Gaur Nitai said?" The servant Ananta Vishwambar, he said, "I didn't hear what the deity said, but I hear what you said to them. But I didn't hear what they said to you. I don't know, I'm not hearing what you're hearing." So Vamsidas Babaji, in complete seriousness, he looks at this Ananta Vishwambar and he says, "Gaur Nitai are telling me that for the next 3 days now, you are very old, your health is not good, so for the next 3 days, you just stay here in the house, and Gaur Nitai are saying that for the next 3 days, we will go out and we will collect alms." So Ananta Vishwambar is hearing this, and then Vamsidas Babaji just goes into a rage of anger. He runs out into the courtyard, he comes back with a stick, and he goes up to Gaur Nitai, and he says, "I'm telling you, don't even think of leaving this house and serving me, and if you do, I'm gonna break your legs." I mean, I don't know. How do you understand such things? How do we understand such things? People used to give him bananas. So then he would keep the bananas until they ripe. But you know, he was just living in any place. So then rats would come to take the bananas. So he was living in this place, doing his bhajan, practically with his bananas becoming ripe and rats coming. So then one time the servant came and said, "The rats are coming." So Vamsidas Babaji said, "Yeah, these rats, they are thieves. But what to do? He is also a thief." Look at Krishna. So Vamsidas Babaji, he was but experiencing something very, very deep. Like one time there was a boatman. So the boatman, he was singing songs of Narottam Das Thakur. So in one song, Narottam, he sings, he's explaining the separation of a devotee. So basically the line of the song is, "You've shot my heart with an arrow, and I haven't died, but I also cannot live." He's explaining the separation of being. So he was singing this song while rowing the boat. And Vamsidas Babaji heard the song. "You've shot my heart with an arrow, and I haven't died, but also I cannot live." So he's hearing this song. And then Vamsidas Babaji goes up to the boatman, practically he grabs him, and he says, "You are singing this song, but practically you don't know the purport, but when you're singing it, you can't imagine what emotions are coming up within my heart. You're just singing it like this, but when I hear it, you can't understand what kind of ecstatic emotions it's bringing up within my heart." So Vamsidas Babaji is an enigma to us, but very hope-giving. Like Rupa Goswami says, Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana bida nitta siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam riti sadhyata. That we practice sadhana, we practice with rules and regulations, but the ultimate potentiality of sadhana bhakti is that one awakens bhava, raga, some genuine love for Krishna. And so when we have these examples of devotees who have awakened such emotions, then it gives us great hope. So I'll tell one final story. I'm going to wrap it up soon. I'll tell one final story of Vamsidas Babaji because they're relevant to what we're talking about today. Jati Shekhar Prabhu was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you should go. Go and get the mercy of a sadhu. What are you doing? Go and serve him. So Jati Shekhar Prabhu for some months went to serve Vamsidas Babaji. So he was about to leave from his service to Vamsidas Babaji. So then as he was leaving, he came to Vamsidas Babaji. And he said, Babaji Maharaj, can you give me some direction on what sadhana I should practice? Can you give me some direction on what sadhana I should practice? So he looks at Vamsidas Babaji and asks this question. So first thing is Vamsidas Babaji is looking at the deities. He's not looking at him. And this is what he says. These are the kind of answers you would get from Vamsidas Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji said, there is a tree. The tree is on the sand. And sometimes the ocean water is coming in and covering the tree. Narad Muni came to ask the tree, what are you going to do? So the tree said, I will build a dam of sand. That's it. Hare Krishna. That's it. So Jati Shekhar was completely bewildered. I mean, the first bewildering thing is he's not even looking at me when he's answering. Second bewildering thing is, is this a real story? Like Narad Muni coming to a tree? I don't know, is this like, what is this? And the third thing is, even whatever the story is true, all this, what's the meaning? I said, what's the meaning of the whole thing? So Vamsidas Babaji didn't tell him the meaning. That's it, finished. That's all I'm saying. In Bhagavatam he said, a sadhu is like a cloud. Sometimes he gives rain, sometimes not. So sometimes they will speak, sometimes they won't say anything. You can't force. So he said, okay, I take this in my heart, I try and find out. He went back to Gaudiya Mission. He went back to the math. And then he asked one sannyasi, what's the meaning of this? So the sannyasi said like this. We don't know who can know the mind of Vamsidas Babaji, but the lesson is good. He said, the tree is the jiva, tatastha shakti, marginal. And the ocean represents maya. So sometimes the jiva is overcome by maya. So when you asked him, what sadhana should I perform? Then he said, the jiva will build a dam of sand to keep the water out. But is a dam of sand powerful? Will a dam of sand be sustainable to keep the ocean away? He said, what Babaji Maharaj was telling you is realize that however much sadhana you do, it won't be enough. Mahat kripa vine kone karme bhakti noi. You need the mercy of a Vaishnav. You need the mercy of a sadhu. You need sadhu kripa. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how much you chant, how much you engage in sadhana, if you don't have the mercy of a Vaishnav, you stand no chance. So that is our meditation today that Srila Prabhupada gave us ISKCON. He taught us about all these great saints. So we should have a relationship with each one of these great saints and understand their mood internally. Not only that, but one final thing, as I'll also say, that the saints are also living now. Sometimes we think the saints, the sadhus, they were the ones of the past. But the saints are also living now. I always find it fascinating that Srila Prabhupada, in his own lifetime, he took the great personality, Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu was a taxi driver. He just came from an all-American family. He came to the Krishna consciousness movement and practically he did his sadhana for 7-8 years. Prabhupada observed him and said the level of spiritual accomplishment he has made in his life, when Jayananda Prabhu left this world, he said, you write down his name in the Vaishnav calendar, and just as we observe the disappearance day of all great saints, you should also observe his disappearance day. Because Prabhupada was showing the example that the saints are not just of the past. The saints are living now. The saints are here. So who will go and find out a sadhu? Who will go and find out a saintly person and get their mercy and become attached to them? That person will go far. So that is our hope, that is our ardent prayer, that we are not saintly, we are not sadhu, we are asadhu, practically, if we're honest. But by association with saintly people, with connection with saintly people, we become saintly. So, and just to connect it now, because Divyananda Prabhu is also going to make an announcement about Bhagavatam. But just to connect it with Bhagavatam, today we're talking about saintliness. Sanatana Goswami was someone who was a saint, a very great saint, and he took Bhagavatam with him. And in his prayers to Bhagavatam, he says, Asadhu, sadhuta dayin, atinicho chataraka, hana muncha kadachin mam prem narit kantayo spura. He prays to Bhagavatam and he says, O Bhagavatam, giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. So, by getting the association of person Bhagavat and book Bhagavat, then even though we are unsaintly, we can become saintly. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, this movement is made to turn crows into swans. So, I don't know how many of you feel like, I sometimes feel like a crow. But still, this movement, if we associate, if we seek out the sadhus, if we seek out saintly people, we take their association, and we associate with the Lord in the form of Bhagavatam, then there's great hope. So we are on a mission to distribute as much Bhagavatam as possible to the whole world. So unfortunately, there's no time for questions and answers, so not that anyone could answer any questions on Vamsidas Babaji, that's not allowed, no questions. But unfortunately, run out of time. Thank you very much for your attention. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj ki, Acharya Vrinda ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande.